I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Thursday, April 22nd. There were 17 new cases of coronavirus confirmed in Quincy yesterday, with the active case total now at 149. Quincy's positivity rate has dropped to 2.79%. The city is in the yellow category on the risk assessment map, and there have been 152 deaths. There are two events happening in Quincy today to mark Earth Day. At noon, the president of the Neponset River Watershed Association, Patrick Hogan, will give a public presentation over Zoom about the importance of stormwater management, water pollution prevention tips, and information about ongoing water quality improvement projects in Quincy. That Zoom link is available through the city website, quincyma.gov. And from 11 to 5 today, Quincy for Transformative Change and other local groups are hosting an in-person Earth Day event at Baker or Brody Beach in Germantown. There will be a cleanup, arts and crafts, sea creatures parade, informational tables, and more. Parking will be available at the Snug Harbor School. Participants are asked to wear masks and observe social distancing requirements. Reminder, curbside collection of trash and recycling is delayed one day in Quincy this week due to the Patriots Day holiday back on Monday. Well, the state of Massachusetts is among the best in the country when it comes to having a low amount of COVID-19 vaccine hesitancy among residents, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. A CDC map shows that 6 to 10% of Massachusetts residents admit that they are reluctant to receive a COVID-19 vaccine, a low number when compared to other states. The Massachusetts Department of Public Health reported an additional 1,370 confirmed COVID-19 cases to the state's total last night. That figure is slightly higher than what the DPH reported over the past couple of days, but is lower than it was last Wednesday. COVID-19 hospitalizations in Massachusetts have also been decreasing. The DPH reported that 686 patients in the state were hospitalized with confirmed coronavirus cases, of which 156 were in intensive care. State health officials also reported an additional 13 confirmed COVID-19 related deaths Wednesday, bringing the confirmed COVID-19 death toll in Massachusetts 17,151. Another college in Boston is requiring its students to be vaccinated against COVID-19 in order to return to campus in the fall. Emerson College President M. Lee Pelton announced yesterday school officials expect to return to full in-person learning for the upcoming 2021 fall semester and to a more familiar pre-pandemic on-campus environment. In a message to the college's community, Pelton said that all students who are studying on all of the school's campuses will need to be vaccinated in order to attend in-person classes this fall. All Emerson staff and faculty will also need to be vaccinated before they return to campus. Pelton added that the college will provide reasonable medical and religious exemptions to the COVID-19 vaccine requirement on an individual basis. Unvaccinated undergraduate Emerson students, as well as graduate students who are in programs that don't require in-person instruction, will be offered online classes. Emerson College now joins a number of other schools, including Northeastern University and Boston University, by instituting a COVID-19 vaccine requirement for its students. Pelton says more detailed guidance will be issued to Emerson's graduate students in the coming months, as well as more information about the college's study abroad programs. The school is also working to facilitate the return of international students to its campuses amid current travel restrictions and U.S. visa processing delays. Emerson College's 2021 fall semester is scheduled to begin on August 31st. A former Boston police commissioner and police superintendent say that a memo and documents released by City Hall paint an incomplete picture of their handling of child sex abuse allegations against an officer who later went on to become head of the police union. Former officer Patrick Rose Sr., 66, is now retired. Allegations of child sexual abuse emerged against him in August, and within weeks, five more accusers came forward. He has pleaded not guilty to 33 total charges. In the wake of those allegations, the city confirmed that he faced a child abuse allegation in 1995, but remained on the force and was reinstated to full duty in 1997, along with releasing 14 redacted pages of documents related to the mid-90s internal affairs investigations. Mayor Kim Janey issued a statement that called the department's handling of the situation deeply unsettling. Former Police Commissioner Paul Evans and former Superintendent Anne Marie Doherty responded to the city's release with a four-page document of their own. In it, they argue the documents published by City Hall present an incomplete and unfair version of events. Evans and Doherty said that criminal complaints were sought in connection with the allegation, but could not move forward due to lack of available witness testimony. The Internal Affairs Division sustained a complaint against Rose, but the former leaders say that without victim testimony, the appropriate standard for a disciplinary hearing could not be reached. Rose remained on administrative duty for approximately 2 years during the process, but was eventually reinstated. Boston's Corporation Counsel said that reinstatement followed a letter from the Boston Police Patrolmen's Association that said the union was considering filing a grievance about Rose's case. A Whitman toddler is recovering at home following his second open-heart surgery. Nathaniel Rodman, who was affectionately known as Nate the Great, underwent his second open-heart surgery at Boston Children's Hospital on April 14th. He received a police escort to the hospital while donning a superhero cape. Nathaniel was born with multiple heart and kidney defects that have required several procedures, including his first open-heart surgery when he was only 5 weeks old. The Canadian border has been closed for well over a year to leisure travelers from the United States, but JetBlue is betting on a surge in travelers wanting to explore north of the border in the months to come. Beginning next summer, JetBlue plans to play nonstop service from Boston to Vancouver in British Columbia. The airline said the flights from Boston and New York's JFK Airport will be seasonal. Currently, it's unclear when the Canadian border will reopen for leisure travel from the United States and other countries. The service to Vancouver was among seven new destinations announced by JetBlue yesterday, with most of them receiving direct service from Logan Airport. JetBlue also plans to launch nonstop service from Boston to San Antonio beginning in October, direct service from Boston to Kansas City and Milwaukee in the second quarter of 2022, and nonstop service to Asheville, North Carolina in the summer of 2022. The airline also announced plans to fly nonstop from New York's JFK Airport to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, and San Pedro Sula in Honduras. Both of those routes will launch in the winter. Seats will go on sale in the coming months. In making the announcement, JetBlue credited the ability to launch the new routes to its new Northeast Alliance with American Airlines. The collaboration between the two airlines was authorized by the U.S. Department of Transportation earlier this year, but is facing pushback from some rival airlines. American announced it plans to introduce new service from Boston to Cincinnati, St. Louis, and Toronto, Canada, as part of its effort within the Northeast Alliance to provide additional options for customers in the Northeast. As part of that agreement, JetBlue also announced a slew of additional flights to and from New York's LaGuardia Airport. A variety of hearts are now on display on the bridge at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston to mark 1 year since the peak of the coronavirus pandemic. The Hearts on the Bridge display was launched yesterday on the bridge that connects 75 Francis Street with Brigham's Shapiro Cardiovascular Center. Yellow hearts represent the lives lost to COVID-19. Blue hearts represent those who were treated and released. And white hearts are messages from staff as they reflect on the last year. Hearts on display throughout the bridge to commemorate those who were treated or lost their lives to COVID-19 will stay on display. The hospital says this time last year is when the pandemic hit the hardest. The display will be up through at least May 4th. A virtual remembrance ceremony was also held yesterday for Brigham staff to reflect on the past year, support one another, honor the lives saved, remember those lost, and look forward with hope. President Biden is convening a coalition of the willing, the unwilling, the desperate for help, and the avid for money for a global summit today aimed at rallying the world's worst polluters to move faster against climate change. The president's first task, convincing the world that the politically fractured United States isn't just willing when it comes to Biden's new ambitious emissions-cutting pledges, but also able. Success for Biden at the virtual summit of 40 leaders will be making his unexpected promises, having coal and petroleum emissions at home and financing climate efforts abroad, believable enough to persuade other powers to make big changes of their own. Just days after guilty verdicts were handed down for the former Minneapolis police officer whose killing of George Floyd set off nationwide protests and a reckoning over racism, the family of another black man killed by police, this time at a nearby suburb, is preparing for his funeral today. Hundreds of people turned out yesterday at a Minneapolis church for the public viewing of 20-year-old Dante Wright, a father of one shot by a police officer on April 11th during a traffic stop in the small city of Brooklyn Center. Justice Department is now opening a sweeping investigation into policing practices in Minneapolis after a former officer was convicted in the killing of George Floyd. Attorney General Merrick Garland announced the investigation yesterday. It comes a day after the former officer, Derek Chauvin, was found guilty of murder and manslaughter in Floyd's death last May, a verdict that set off a wave of relief across the country. Floyd's death had led to months of mass protests against policing and the treatment of black people in the United States. The Justice Department was already investigating whether Chauvin and the other officers involved in Floyd's death violated his civil rights. Proponents of statehood for Washington, D.C. face a milestone moment in their decades-long movement to reshape the American political map. The House will vote today on legislation that would create the new state of Washington, Douglas Commonwealth, with one representative and two senators. A tiny sliver of land, including the White House, the U.S. Capitol, and the National Mall, would remain as a federal district. The measure is expected to pass easily in the House and be sent to the Senate, where the real fight awaits. One of the largest reports on COVID-19 vaccination in pregnancy bolsters evidence that it is safe, although the authors say more comprehensive research is needed. The preliminary results are based on reports from over 35,000 U.S. women who received either the Moderna or Pfizer shots while pregnant. Their rates of miscarriage, premature births, and other complications were comparable to those observed in published reports on pregnant women before the pandemic. The new evidence from researchers at the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention was published Wednesday in the New England Journal of Medicine. Queen Elizabeth II expressed her thanks for all the support and kindness shown following the death of her husband, Prince Philip, in a statement Wednesday posted on her Twitter account on her 95th birthday, at which she personally signed off as Elizabeth R. The monarch said, "It has been a comfort to see and to hear all the tributes to my husband from within the UK, the Commonwealth, and around the world." Philip, also known as the Duke of Edinburgh, died on April 9th at age 99. Family and friends gathered for his funeral at St. George's Chapel in Windsor on Saturday to say their final farewells. A check of business news and stocks rebounded yesterday. The Dow was up 316, the NASDAQ rose 163, and the S&P was up 38. Asian stocks also higher. The euro rose, the dollar slipped, oil at just under $61 a barrel. sports, Red Sox lose to the Blue Jays 6-3 last night. They will open up a series with Seattle at Fenway tonight at 7:10. And the Celtics will host Phoenix tonight at 7 o'clock. The Bruins are in Buffalo tonight at 7. The National Weather Service forecast for today: gusty winds and chilly temperatures of the high 50 degrees tonight, clear and cold, low of 38. Breezy, milder tomorrow, high of 61. Saturday, partly sunny and a high near 70 degrees. Looks like some rain on Sunday, a high of 54, maybe some showers on Monday. For the boater, waves about 2 feet, west winds gusting to 35 knots. High tide at 7:47 a.m. and 8:27 p.m. Sunrise at 5:51, setting at 7:33. So we get a blustery day with a high around 50 degrees. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Thursday, April 22nd.